Welcome to the Six Figure Business Mastery Podcast, where every week, Kirsten and Jeannie dive into the essential topics to fuel your business growth. From copywriting to course creation, mindset to video marketing, they've got you covered. Tune in for expert guest interviews on all things marketing and business, and learn how to work on your business, not just in it. So, get ready to unlock your business potential and take it to the next level.
Welcome everyone to today's episode. We're thrilled that you're here. We're also thrilled to have Michael Foreman. We're going to talk about networking today. So what if every conversation you had could naturally lead to your next client without feeling forced or scripted? So welcome to the show, Michael. We're so excited to have you.
Thank you very much. I am so happy to be here. I've been waiting for this all week.
We're thrilled to have you here because I know you have an interesting story. Like most of us, a windy road as to how you ended up here today. Do you mind starting off by sharing that with everyone?
It's a long and windy road, but I'll try to shorten the street a little bit. 100 years ago, when I was in the Air Force, I was in the Air Force for 9 years. I did very well. I went to the Leadership Academy, and I began seeing that I had to tell people what to do that were older than I was. So I might have been higher in rank, but you have to do that in a strategic way so they don't get annoyed with you. So that led me on my networking communication journey. When I got out of the Air Force, I had my own businesses. I had a graphic design studio, Ben & Jerry's, a pizzeria, a restaurant. I ran the gambit. I did this with my brother, so I wasn't just all on my own. Then we got rid of all of that, and I went corporate. And I went to the mortgage industry, and we started out with myself, my brother, and one assistant, and we wound up having 15 loan officers and 9 back office people. So we built that up rather greatly. I left that because I moved from New York down to Georgia.
Okay, quick pause. This episode is sponsored by our Profit Clarity Masterclass. If you've been avoiding your finances and quietly hoping it won't catch up with you, we want you to hear this. You're not failing. This is incredibly common for most business owners. Most people don't avoid money because they don't care. They avoid it because it feels heavy, confusing, or stressful. In our free live masterclass, we're going to show you a clear, more supportive way to handle your finances so your business can actually support your life. You can learn more and save your seat at lessmathmoremoney.com. We look forward to seeing you there.
I got involved with a law firm, which was an accident attorney. He had one building practice, and I went to him as a sales director and marketing director. And I built that up to 4 states. So he became huge. One thing led to another. I saw that he wasn't handling the business correctly as a business person, not an attorney, because he was an excellent attorney, but not so great as a business person. And it started going down, so I kind of jumped ship. But I made the decision to go off on my own. And I said, what am I passionate about? Both the mortgage and the law firm, I was the face of the company. And I was always out talking, giving presentations and everything. So I'm doing that for myself. So I went to a school called the Speaker Lab, a great school. But that taught me the business behind speaking, not just how to speak. I felt I knew how to speak, but I learned from there. I realized that I went to the School of Hard Knocks. I learned how to do everything wrong before I did it correctly. And now I'm coaching, I am teaching, I am telling people from the stage how to network communicate correctly. And then I throw leadership in there because I have to coach the C-suite executives on how to coach their minions, so to speak. And that's how I got where I am today.
I love this. And I think this conversation will benefit a lot of our audience who are business owners. Some of them are solopreneurs. Some of them are doing a few million a year. But a lot of times it is the communication and it is the networking that can take the business to the next level. Where do you think a business owner should start when it comes to networking and great communication?
The whole thing is there are networking events, right? And a lot of my clients are nervous about going out there and networking because they feel that they're not going to do well. They're going to lose his message or her message. And my first piece of advice is to go out and network. Because listen, the first time out, no two ways about it, you're going to suck. It's going to be horrible. You're going to be so bad. But the second time you go out, you're going to learn from the first time. And the third time, you'll learn from the second time. And so on, pretty soon, that you're going to become comfortable in networking. But here's the trick. Here's the most important piece of information I can give your viewers. When you speak with anybody, with somebody, never talk business. Never talk business. Have them talk about themselves. Have them. So it's called having a servant's heart. When you go out and network, you don't see what they can do for you. You see what you can do for them. And by doing so, what goes around comes around. Zig Ziglar, Bob Berg, all the biggies will tell you this is the way to network.
The saying, people don't remember what you say, but they remember how you made them feel. And if you're in a networking environment, I've got networking tonight and tomorrow night locally, and it's been a busy month, the holidays, tax season, all those things. And just to ask someone, how are you? What area do you live in? Where did you move from? In Florida, no one's from Florida. We all moved here from somewhere, right? So yeah, I find that just having those types of conversations, you can just see the wall go down with people and you see them relax into getting to know you.
There is a method to my madness. I believe I use something called FORM, F-O-R-M, family, occupation, recreation, and a message. And I have the other person talk to me about any one of those. And I try to get them their sister, their brother, husband, wife, son, daughter, whatever the case may be. It depends on the season, but I'll have them talk about their son, their daughter, grandchildren, whatever, about youth sports. Because I was a baseball coach for 16 years. I was an umpire for another 3 years. I really know the sports fairly well, the youth sports. Have them talk about themselves, about their family, and they'll just talk forever. And you'll walk away. They'll walk away and say, that was a great conversation. And you didn't say anything, right? But you were right that they will remember that conversation because of all the family and everything else. That's how you start everything.
See, now I was thinking when Mike said, talk about sports, that would not go well for me, would it?
No, I was thinking that too, because in my family, it's rugby. And that's not all that common in the States here. So now that you've had a great conversation with someone and you've learned all about them, how do you at some point transition into telling them what you do, who you are and what you do?
Okay, so if you do your job correctly and they talk about everything, their family, you swing the conversation around to their occupation, to what they do. And they begin talking about their occupation. And at the end, you stop, you listen, you show them that you're listening because they have to be the room. They are everything that you're interested in. They have to know that you are right on them. And you stop and you listen and say, you know something? I like you. I like your business. I like how you do it. How can I make you more successful? How can I be a good referral source for you? And if I did my job correctly, they'll say, Mike, I don't even know what the hell you do yet. And you're already trying to make me more successful. Yes, that's exactly right. And then it'll move around to what I do, right? And then that begins the follow-up process. And I believe, my years of experience, that the follow-up is more important than actually meeting the person. And I have a secret sauce, how I follow up from that night to the next day to 3 days later. I have an exact science of exactly how you follow up. And I've turned the replies from, you get about a 2% reply from an email that you just sent out. Okay, that's corporate standard. After I'm finished, I would say you get about a 75% chance of a response.
And you can't keep us waiting. You have to tell us a little bit about those two emails. You said you sent an email the next day and then 3 days.
Okay, so when I get home or back to the office, that same night, I send a thank you email. Hey, Gene, I This is Michael. I had a wonderful time tonight. I loved your conversation. I hope to do business with you soon, Michael. That's it. Just that's it, right? The next day, I send a handwritten thank you note. Hey, that's right, because nobody does this except for my clients. Nobody does this. And all you do, you write almost the same thing. But you add in this at the top. Hey, Jeannie, this is Michael. I met you on such and such date at such and such an event. We spoke about XYZ. I really hope to do some business with you. I hope all is well, Michael. Now, those top three things, that's what I put on every correspondence that I send you. So then I wait 3 or 4 days later because snail mail, right? So now if you haven't sent me back a response yet, I don't expect it because it takes between 8 and 12 touch points before anybody responds to you. That's the average. 3 or 4 days later, I send you another email. I say, hey, Jeannie, this is Michael. I met you on such and such date, such an event. We spoke about XYZ. Hey, listen, I saw that Tuesday and Wednesday of next week is opening up. How's Tuesday for meeting for a cup of coffee, Michael? Okay, I wait 3 more days. Now, it's very important, the 3 days. 3 more days. And because you still haven't answered me, you're a bad person. You haven't answered me yet. Right? I send you another email. Hey, Jeannie, this is Michael. I met you on such and such day, such an event. We spoke about XYZ. I told you Tuesday and Wednesday were fairly open, but Tuesday's closing up. How's Wednesday? I wait 3 more days because you still haven't answered me. All I'm waiting for is a response. Negative, positive, doesn't make a difference. I want a response. Hey, Jeannie, this is Michael. I met you on such and such date, such an event. We spoke about XYZ. I said Tuesday was open, Wednesday was open, but it's looking like it's closing. Is there a good time for you? So what does that do? That kind of closes out what I'm doing, but leaves it open for you to send me an email that you are available. So now you think you just put all this work into this customer and they haven't sent you anything back. So what do? You have all their information. You have all the touch points, all the info that you sent them, but then you put them into your CRM. You put them on to what's called a drip campaign. And once a month, I send you an email. Hey, Jeannie, this is Michael. I met you on such and such day, such an event. We spoke about XYZ. I'm just checking in with you to see if there's any time you have free. And I do that once a month. Now, you would think they're never going to answer me. If they didn't say stop, that means that they're interested, but maybe not this time. I emailed an event planner back in February of last year, and I did this whole thing, and I put them in my drip campaign. In November, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, November, October, November, she sent me an email back like we've been talking for every day and said, hey, Michael, listen, I have this great conference coming up. Would you like to speak? Like it was nothing. And I, of course, just said, sure. She didn't say no. So she was interested in keeping my information, but I kept it.
I love this.
Yeah, I love this too. I have two questions. One is, how do you get their address? So are these local businesses?
The local businesses are easy. But if it's somebody that's, I'm in Georgia and you're in Florida, you have to do a little investigative work, right? You have to find their address out. If you cannot find their address, that's okay. Just send a thank you note through the email and you can. Listen, you really can't. I would say 50% of the people do not put an address on their card, especially if they're solopreneurs. If they're part of a conglomerate, yes, there's a business address, but if they're solopreneurs, they don't.
Yeah, and I think as women, we spend money with services to keep our stuff off the internet, right? For security reasons. In this day and age, you don't want your information out there. And then that makes me think a little bit, if I had to work really hard to get that address, would it make them more uncomfortable than feel good about my thank you note? Does that make sense? Especially for women.
Yeah, just think if you're sitting behind your desk, your computer, and you get this thank you note in the mail, I think you'd be happier. Think, look, he really sent me a thank you note. It's a handwritten thank you note. So thank you very much. I'm going to have to go answer him now. So that type of thing. So no, I think it's more positive than negative.
And I will tell you guys, everybody who's listening, my virtual assistant who books me on podcast, she follows up for 6 weeks. And we often get booked on the fifth or sixth follow-up. Sometimes the fourth, but most likely the fifth or sixth. So follow-up pays off. And we've thought about extending it to 8 weeks or maybe skipping a couple of weeks and doing that. We usually put them aside and circle back in 6 months. I think the natural thing, and this may be more of a female thing too, is to feel like you're being a pest or you're annoying them or you seem desperate or something, right? But people are so busy and we're being bombarded by so much information. I think it says a lot about you that you are interested enough to take the effort to follow up.
Perseverance and consistency. Those are the number one, two factors that you need in networking today. Because of exactly what you said. You said they're so busy and they're not doing it intentionally, but they're so bombarded with all this information that they put you off. Okay, I'll get to this tomorrow, but 10 more things go on top of it. It's not that they're not interested in what you're saying. It's like they're not, it's too much. So the fourth or fifth time, they're saying, oh, yeah, okay. Oh, she sent me an email again. Okay, I'm going to answer it. Let me stop and just answer them right now. And so that's really what it is.
All right. So I have to challenge this because how do you feel about someone sending a booking link and saying, hey, Mike, it was so nice to meet you. I would love to connect with you for a virtual coffee chat. Here's a link that you could use to find a date and time that would actually work best in your schedule. How do you feel about those?
It depends on where in the conversation it falls, right? Okay. So if I go in LinkedIn, LinkedIn's a perfect example. That's for business. I have about 10,000 connections with LinkedIn. So every time I get a connection, I say exactly what I do. I'm a speaker and I have a podcast and all this kind of stuff. And what I do, if I'm interested in talking to them, I don't come right out and say, let's do lunch. No, let's do coffee. I bring value to the relationship before I make anything like that. Okay. So if it's a roofing company, I'll find something between asphalt and metal roofs, an article, and I'll attach it and say, hey, I read this. I was thinking about you here. And okay. So I'll do that two or three times and I'll bring value to the relationship before I do an ask. And then I'll do an ask because they'll be much more agreeable to it. If they say, look, Mike has already given me these two or three articles. So sure, I'm going to have coffee with them.
I like it. Would you add them to your regular email newsletter? Or if you send out a weekly email that promotes what you're doing in your business?
I would ask them first to go on my email list, right? If they say yes, then fine. Okay. But especially with Constant Contact or MailChimp, they always have this little button saying, do you have permission to use their email? So that's on there for a reason, because if people didn't sign up for your emails, they really don't want it.
I was gonna say, but it's that debate over giving your business card. Is that considered consent to stay in touch with them? I've been in networking groups where they debated that for an hour. And I still don't, like Jeannie said, I'm on the fence about both of it, right? I can see both sides of it, but yeah, it is nicer if they have consent.
And I feel that is not consent. If you give somebody your business card with your email address on it, it gives you consent to ask them if they want to join your email list, right? It gives you permission to ask that, but it doesn't give you permission to use their email. That's the way that I feel.
I love this. This has been so helpful, Michael. I'm so glad you're here. Tell us a little bit, just briefly, about your two books. Are they next to you?
Yes, those are next to me. The first book I wrote about 4 years ago, took me about a year and a half to write. And it's all about networking and the connection. And it has a few stories in it about what you should do, what you should not do. And it's really common sense. My book, it's about 45 pages. It's common sense. And it's all about just trust. There's a mantra with networking. Know you, like you, trust you. They'll do business with you. Know you is very simple. Everybody knows you. Like you, that narrows the scope down just a little bit. But trust you, it's a major factor because you have to start to talk with them. You can't, that's not through an email, through anything else, because you have a wall between you and the other person. And as that wall comes down, your trust factor starts to go up. And once you make that switch, then you can start to talk to them. And my book starts to talk all about that. From Airwaves to Income, that's my podcasting book. And whether you're just starting out, whether you're just a middle-of-the-road podcaster or a seasoned podcaster, it tells you all about it, about the equipment that you can use, how to monetize, how you can do your podcast. It's a whole gambit. And both of them have been hugely successful.
I love that. We'll put the links for both of the books down below, as well as your information, because I feel like networking, the louder it gets online, the more important networking is going to be for everyone. Really connecting with people and building that know and trust, like you said. And it's an investment. It's an investment in time, and it's actually an investment in really caring about people.
Absolutely. The caring goes a lot further than what you think about. I use the pandemic as a line in the sand. Before, pre-pandemic, it was more transactional. Hey, I have a widget. Hey, you have $3. We'll switch it and you become a customer. Oh, I'm going to build my customer list. Post-pandemic, it's more relational and it's more based on relationships. So my School of Hard Knocks, I used to go to events and come home with a shoebox filled with business cards and say, look how good I did, when I really didn't do well at all. But now, through a 3 or 4 hour event, I get 15 cards, maybe 20. But I created that conversation with each one. I created the relationship with each one. And then I put in my follow-up with that. I've written 8 digital courses. It's all on my website, on about networking, follow-up, subject lines, everything that you would think that you would need to leadership, for communication, for networking. It's all there.
That's fantastic. And we'll put a link to your website in the show notes as well, so people can get right there, because I think networking is so important, as you've already mentioned, but I think there's just some nuanced things that you can do to make people feel good. I love that you talked about writing what we talked about and where we met and that kind of thing, because that's important. That's going to make them feel good because they may have forgotten.
What a good trick is that right after you have that conversation with somebody and you walk away, you have their business card, you turn it over, you write down the date, the name of the function, and what you talked about right on the business card. So in 2 weeks, when you're trying to remember who this person is, you turn it over and say, oh, that's who it is.
Yeah, if I can step away to a quiet corner, I open up my notes app and I dictate who they were and what we talked about. I take a lot of notes, so it doesn't always fit on the back of a card. If I have to type it really quickly, I'll try to. But yeah, getting those, documenting that, right? Because you are meeting so many people and you want to make sure that you really do remember them. And I found that if I document it, then when I'm reading over my notes, I start thinking about other things we talked about, or just it expands on that. But I need that foundation.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Good stuff. Michael, this has been tremendous. I know people listening are thinking, I need to find that book. I need to reach out to Michael. What is the best way for them to reach out to you?
The best way to reach out to me is michaelaforeman.com. It's my website. You can get hold of me. On the very bottom, there's an interest form. What do you want information about, or just to reach out to me? I'll always get back to you within 24 hours, regardless of what day, what time, what part of the year it is. I'll always get back to you, but you can get the books, the digital courses, information about my speaking engagements, all right there on my website.
Fantastic.
Thank you for serving our country. And I love that you're a veteran-owned business. So thank you so much.
My honor. Thank you.
Thanks for having us. Thanks for being here, Michael. It's been such a pleasure to get to know you and your wealth of information. Like I said, we'll put your website in the show notes so everybody could head on over there. So thanks again, Michael.
Thanks for listening to the Six Figure Business Mastery Podcast. If you enjoyed listening to this episode and you are ready to leverage video marketing on all online platforms, or maybe even start your own video podcast, then you need to check out the Done For You and Done With You program at themarketingvaadvantage.com. Take your business to the next level.